May the Lord help us to commence his worship by singing hymn number 275. Hymn 275. Let me, thou sovereign Lord of all, low at thy footstool humbly fall, and while I feel affliction's rod, be still and know that thou art God. Hymn 275.
Thank you.
read for our instruction from the Word of God out of the book of Exodus, chapter 15. The 15th chapter in the book of Exodus. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand. The earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestine. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone, till thy people pass over, O Lord. Till the people pass over, which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine heritage, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the house of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. May the Lord bless unto us the reading of his holy word, and help us now at the throne of grace. O thou who rulest on high and on earth too, amongst the nations of men, and much more so, Lord, in the hearts of poor sinners, we do pray that thou wilt now bow down thine ear to hear our petitions, enabling us, Lord, now to make our requests known, to come nigh unto that throne of grace. Oh, help us, Lord, there to open our mouth wide, that thou mayest fill it. Oh, that thou wilt enable us, Lord, now to take thee at thy word and plead the word. Oh, that we may take hold of thy strength. We do pray that thou, O Lord, wilt be pleased then to manifest unto us here something of those divine purposes of God. Oh, we read, Lord, of those purposes that thou hast toward thy people, eternal purposes, those purposes of good. Oh, we hope, Lord, that there may be such purposes for us too, as was given to Ruth of old, handfuls of purpose. Oh, Lord, we pray that we may experience some of those handfuls. Oh, remember us then. And as indeed we are favored to gather on this Lord's Day morning, we do pray that thou, Lord, wilt now draw near. Make thy presence known. Oh, do come, Lord, and fill the place with the glory of God. Sanctify it, Lord. Oh, that there may be, Lord, a solemn reflection then in the hearts of each one, a realization that surely the Lord is there. Oh, that there may be then, Lord, an examining of our hearts before thee. Oh, Lord, we would pray that thou wilt now cleanse us then from our sin. Oh, that there might be, Lord, even now, such grace given that we might come near unto God and worship him in spirit and in truth. Oh, surely thou seest, Lord, our many infirmities, the weakness of our nature. Oh, thou seest, Lord, how we are poor and needy. Oh, that thou wilt come to enrich us, to enliven us, for we do need, Lord, that help. Oh, we pray that thou wilt come, Lord, and stir us up. Oh, blow upon these dry bones with that breath of wind. Bring us, Lord, to come forth, to stand upright. Oh, that thou wilt grant, Lord, that we may yet also be made fruitful. Oh, Lord, come, though we pray, and work these things in us, and bless us indeed. We do thank thee, Lord, for every mercy that's been granted in sparing our lives, favoring us, Lord, even to this moment. We thank thee, Lord, for all that. But we would pray that thou wilt today be pleased also to show that thou hast had thoughts of peace toward us, to give us an expected end. For Lord, it is not just to live this life below, but it's to be given an end and an expectation of it, a good hope through grace, to have, Lord, that sweet hope that we shall one day be found where Jesus is. Oh, to be graciously taught. We do pray that thou wilt come, Lord, and wilt thou, Lord, show unto us yet something of the covenant. Oh, make known to us, Lord, that covenant ordered in all things and sure. Oh, come and bless. But we would humbly pray that here today thou would also be pleased, Lord, to draw nigh to such souls who are yet held fast by the God of this world, blinded by him, oh, darkened through all his devices. We do pray that thou would have mercy upon such, Lord, and be very gracious. And cause them, Lord, now to rise up. May there be that beginning work of grace, the fear of the Lord manifested, and their earnest seeking. And oh, then, Lord, we pray that there may be a going on to know the Lord. Oh, bless, Lord, each one. Remember them then for good. Remember yet, Lord, those who walk in hard places, who walk, Lord, under dark clouds, who walk, Lord, in a path that seems so forsaken. Be with such as they, how they need, Lord, that upholding grace. They need, Lord, that enabling to yet cast their burden upon the Lord. We do pray that thou wilt then shine forth. Oh, but thou knowest, Lord, those who may find, Lord, there are those things before them that they cannot understand, they fear. Oh, that thou wilt stay their mind upon thee. Help them to cast their way, commit their way, and cast their care upon thee then. But oh, be to each that performing God, a wonder-working God, doing more than one can ask or think. Lord, may they be given that faith to put thee to the test in that the Lord is able to do exceeding abundantly above what they can ask or think. Oh, for grace, Lord, to come then upon that ground, and to receive then out of thy fullness too. Oh, bless us, Lord, we pray. We do humbly beg that thou wilt yet grant there might be an establishing of souls more and more into that truth in Jesus, a gracious building up, confirming of many, strengthening of hands, enabling them to walk in that way, the way in the path of holiness, of justice and truth. Oh, Lord, may there be such who do walk in the steps of the Saviour. Oh, that they might have that brand upon them, that mark, that they do know the Lord. Oh, Lord, be gracious then unto them. So we can't come, Lord, with our needs and lay them before thee. Remember yet our aged friends. We thank thee for mercies given and sparing their lives and extending them still. Oh, no small favour that. We thank thee for it. But oh, prepare them, Lord. Exercise their soul. Draw forth their hearts. Oh, that there may be yet, Lord, that true looking unto thee. Remember all in the midst of life, with all their concerns, their burdens, pressing matters. Lord, undertake for them and enable them likewise in everything, Lord, to draw nigh to God. May every pressing matter push them closer. Oh, help them then. Keep them, Lord, from the spirit of the world. Keep them, Lord, from being lured aside by the carnal devices, by the temptations. Oh, that they may, Lord, realize the subtlety of the enemy in this. Oh, remember those of our young friends, our youth. Be gracious unto them each. Oh, that thou wilt be pleased, Lord, yet, to manifest the mighty power of God in calling them out, bringing them to thy feet, teaching them, so that they, Lord, may then be able to tell of what the Lord has done. Oh, we pray that thou wilt bless thy church then and build up Zion in every place, Lord. Oh, do good in thy good pleasure. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Oh, we do pray that thou wilt remember still, Lord, the trying scenes that we find in Zion. We are brought low, we are deplenished. Lord, oh, there is much to cause us to tremble and fear. Our hope is in the Lord still. Wilt thou then appear, Lord? And oh, that thou wilt turn our captivity and do us good. Oh, remember yet, Lord, all who do wait on thee. In whatever capacity it is, wilt thou yet keep them, Lord. Enable them to hold on, to endure all hardness, and to persevere. We pray that thou wilt now, Lord, then bow down thine ear and hear us. Oh, we need thee, Lord, to open and unfold thy word and truth, to bring us more and more into all the wonders of thy death, the atoning death, the great sacrifice, to see there, Lord, something too of the imputation of sin, that there might be an imparting of righteousness unto poor, needy souls. Oh, that we might be clothed upon, that this mortality might put on immortality in due course, that, Lord, we may know something of that glorious change and the preparation of it now here below. Oh, draw our souls in, Lord. Oh, help us that we may take up the cross and follow thee, crucifying the flesh. Oh, that we may be enabled to tread upon the world and all that is of it. Hear us now. Oh, do yet turn us, Lord, and we shall be turned. Pardon and forgive. Seal to us, Lord, that forgiveness through the blood of the righteousness of Christ. So we come, Lord, praying that thou wilt hear our petitions, remembering us. And wilt thou now, Lord, forgive all the sins, many shortcomings, things that we ought to have said and we have not, things that we have spoken when we ought not to have. Oh, that many deeds, Lord, we've come short in. Forgive. But oh, forgive especially the hardness of our heart, the carnality of our nature, and how little, Lord, we think upon thy name. How little do we seek after thee. Oh, we think of our love, Lord, how cold it is. Forgive that too. And reprove us indeed, and humble us before thee. Do now then, Lord, accept our petitions, our thank offerings for the mercies and thy kind care. We bless thee, Lord, that thou art such a God who still delights in mercy. Pray that thou wilt receive us in that name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Let us now sing hymn number 320. Hymn 320. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Hymn 320.
Thank you.
us, gracious help. I direct your thoughts this morning over to the book of Exodus, chapter 15. And reading there, just four words in verse 23. Exodus chapter 15, verse 23. These four words, they came to Marah. But oh, what was in that coming? And oh, what God unfolded. Be sure they did not come to Marah by their own choosing. They would have gone any other way. Every other way would have been right to them other than this way. And so many times in our lives we may be brought into such paths. Well, we would have it every other way, but the way that it is. The things that have fallen out. We can't understand it. It all is against us. It all seems so wrong. We had thought it should have been this or that. We come in that spirit of Naaman. I thought the prophet would have come out and put his hand over the leprosy. Yes, we have our thoughts too. They came to Marah. This was a path that God had purposely led them in. He had made no mistake. How many times people have gone from this land of Egypt up to the land of Canaan and back, and they've never come to Marah. Many times other Israelites and years later would come in such a path. They would go down to Egypt. They didn't come to Marah. You see, dear friend, it is no sign that we are being led right if we never come to Marah. In our lives, we might well wonder indeed if we've ever been led right of God. If there's not been some Marahs in our path. These Marahs are some very bitter places. They have a very bitter taste. They are extremely trying. They came to Marah. From that time that we read of when they came off from away from the Red Sea with rejoicing, joy, expectation, their enemies had been seen dead. There was a complete deliverance. Oh, everything now seemed to have such a prosperous outlook, such a rosy outlook. There was a bright future now. That's how it seemed when they left the banks of the Red Sea. They left those banks singing, praise to God, rejoicing in the Lord. Miriam led the women with all their timbrels. Oh, how they sang, how the horse and the rider he hath overthrown in the sea. But oh, in just a few days' time, they came in such a need. There was no water. What a striking word. So Moses brought them from the Red Sea. And they went out into the wilderness. And they went 3 days. And there was no water. All the joy was forgotten. All their praises had died out. Oh, what a state they were brought into in a matter of a few days. The whole scene has changed. Who can describe the thoughts, the feelings, the murmurings that the people came into? What a dark, foreboding scene it was. No water. Their need was so great. Look at that vast multitude of people. Men, women, children. Look at all their beasts. All crying for water. There was none. Had their God forgotten them? Had he made a mistake? Oh, had he led them in a way that they would perish? And oh dear soul, you may be in such a place where it seems all these things are like in your path. They're the same for you. And do remember the children of Israel, where they were a type. They were a picture of the way that the Lord leads his people down through every age. What they experienced here is something that all God's people will know in some measure if they are led of the Lord. And if they're not led of the Lord, then they're not his people at all. And thus so we need to come to this examining of ourselves. Are we being led as Israel was? Do we know some of their places? Not literally, but figuratively. When we are brought into such needs, such straits, such dire conditions, oh, the trying time it is then. And oh, dear friend, be sure that at such times too, the tongue fails for praise, and it turns to complaining, murmuring. It's all it can do. How we are so dependent upon the Lord for every state that we are in. The seasons of reviving as well as those when we are chastened sorely. Oh, these waters. This place of no water first. Until finally they come a little further and they find water. How happy they were. Water was ahead. And how, no doubt, those who first arrived, oh, how they would take up it so quickly, only to find it was so bitter. A bitterness that they could not bear. Better to have no water than have such bitter waters. But they didn't come here by themselves. They were led. The cloudy pillar was over them. This is the way the Lord had ordained. Oh, how they could not see it. They could not see through. They surely could see no good. Oh, but so are you in such a place this morning. And you too have a Mara. Oh, it's hard to speak of such things then. Yes, I know people that know nothing of the morals. They can speak well about them. They can tell you what you should do and how you must hope and everything else. And they've never been to a Mara. But those who know something of their Maras, They know well that it's not for them to try to tell others who are found in Amara what they must do and what way the Lord will appear. It is enough for them at least to try and pray for such at that time, the Maras. You remember how Naomi, when she returned from the land of Moab, and her relatives and friends said, "Is not this Naomi," which means pleasant? Naomi knew nothing of pleasantness. No. "Call me not Naomi, but call me Mara. Mara. The Lord hath dealt bitterly with me." It was a bitter way to lose a husband and two sons. There was a Mara. Oh, different but these Maras that the Lord will bring his people into. They're places that are embittered by sin. That Mara was not that way in creation. How it was that it was turned to such bitter waters, we must leave. But a day came, it was turned. It was more than just a salty water too. It was a bitter water. And sin's the cause of it. Sorrow will attend it. Yes, this is the way the Lord will teach his people. Let's look at some of these things where we find the Maras. First, this world. The world has a fair show, a lovely view, many pleasures. Dear friend, has God ever stamped a Mara upon it to you? Because if he hasn't, then the world is your element. The world is your portion. The world will be your all. Has he ever stamped a Mara upon it? Has he made it bitter? We think of such in business. You expect good from your business. You expect that there will be a profit, an increase, a provision. Whatever that business may be. But has God put a Mara in it? Has he brought those things which have caused you so much trouble, which have loosened your affection toward it, which have, as it were, eased something of the prospects that you had? There's a Mara. We think too of our relations, our friends, friendships. These are all things that we expect to find great pleasure in, happiness, delight. But then the Lord comes and he puts a Mara in it. He makes those relations bitter. Perhaps two very special friends. And there's a Mara comes in. It becomes very bitter. They came to Mara. Surely, in these bodies of ours. There are times the Lord puts a mara. There have been times I've looked at, especially in Children's Hospital Milwaukee, when they are visiting, and just viewing some of the sad cases of little ones who have spent nearly their whole life dealing with problems of affliction, illness. What a mara it is. Others know nothing of a hospital, perhaps, all their life. But the Lord can bring an affliction in another way. And bring in a mara. Oh, the place of the mara. We find that these are things that the Lord orders to teach poor sinners. Oh, when he comes with those seasons when all the prospects that we had are shattered. What a mara. What a mara those two on the road to Emmaus were in for a time. They confessed to the stranger that that one whom they had hoped in had done so many things, promised so many things, and now all was shattered. Everything seemed gone. Death had entered. It was a mara. We'll come back to that in a moment. But oh, you see, dear friend, Hezekiah had a mara. Under all the stress that he was under, the Lord sent that word, "Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Oh, what a mara it was to the king. A mara in many folds, on many sides. What about the promises of God? And what about an offspring? He had no offspring. What about the promise, the eternal covenant of promise? Everything now seemed to be gone and dying out. There was a mara in it all. They came to a mara. Oh, when we come there. So just think for a moment how oft we come into these places. If we're of the Lord's people. Oh, the things that we once were seeking pleasure in, we're not able to now. That's shut off. Taken away. Oh, we find now the Lord is dealing bitterly with us, as it seems. Things that once we took delight in, we can no longer. They came to Mara. But let's look what happens when they come there. There's no humbling of their hearts before God. Oh, good thing that would have been. Instead, we read that they murmured. People murmured against Moses. Oh, dear friend, what do you and I do in it? I go back, just thinking of those in business, because I think of my own father. I didn't realize it at the time. I was very young. But what a mara he had. When he had two men that he had done work for go bankrupt. They couldn't pay him the great amount that they owed him. He lost it all. What a mara it was. And there may be others. You might have that in your business. Or there are those that fail you. Matter, isn't it? But oh, do you murmur under it? That's the first instinct of the carnal flesh, the rebellious nature, to murmur. We're always ready to murmur. We see a little child, he can't have his way on something and he murmurs. But oh, we find we're no better. This. Oh, this murmuring spirit. They murmured. Oh, had they but bowed themselves before the Lord. But they couldn't. Indeed, they found their hearts were rebellious. So, have you proven that? You know something, you little know how rebellious your hearts are until you come into some of these places where there's a marrow. And then you'll find your rebellion. And it won't be easy. Oh, the Lord. He will humble the people all the more because of that rebellious state too. Oh, and that rebellious keeps working. It seems that the more that goes against us, the more rebellious one becomes. It's great wonder if ever that rebellion's taken away. And the Lord will do that in due course for his people. He'll take that rebellion away. Oh, but let's come in another sense of it then. Oh, when you might look at how others seem to prosper. They get on. They seem to increase. They go on in their ways. And you are checked, you're stopped, you're hindered, you're prevented all along the way. For the Maras. And surely, what a trying time, what a testing time, a proving time it is. These Maras. Your prospects, your hopes, your anticipations, all seem to be dashed, cut off. They came tomorrow. Or again, you look at others in their families. They don't seem to have trials with their children, perhaps. They don't seem to have all the struggles. Everything seems to be so smooth for them. When you look at your own family, and it seems all chaos. Mara. Oh, then to be still. We sang that in our opening hymn. Especially at those times when we need much grace to be still before the Lord. To wait on him. They murmured. But you know, when a soul is brought there and kept there in measure. Oh, I think sometimes of those who perhaps under a trial, the Lord seems, as it were, to keep them in that fire for a time, that furnace. He doesn't come to deliver so quick. And they're brought lower and lower. It's a real Mara. What can one say? Is the Lord unkind? Is the Lord without mercy? Is the Lord so unfair that He should deal with one in such a way? Oh, how careful we need to be in these matters, lest we judge wrongly, as we are so prone to do. Oh, in so many aspects of our lives, we so judge God mistakenly. Oh, when everything is going well for us, we think God is good, but it may well be different, that God is leaving us. And when everything's against us, we think that God is so wrong and unkind, and God may be working for good. What were we just singing now regarding those ways of God? Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and will break with blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord in blind unbelief, but trust Him for His grace. Behind a frowning providence, He shows a smiling face. Blind unbelief is sure to err, and scan His work in vain. God is His own interpreter, and He will make it plain. Oh, dear friend, the ways that the Lord takes them with His people and bringing them to the morrows. But you see, there's something very beautiful here that we read when they cried, and Moses cried unto the Lord. The Lord showed him a tree. It's a beautiful thought, a beautiful word. He showed him a tree. I take it to mean this, that Moses had to have a veil taken away from his eyes. Even Moses did. He was a man. He too proved that he had his infirmities. He didn't see that tree that was there. He never perceived the remedy. The Lord showed him a tree. It was always there. That tree. Oh, you see, this cry of the Lord unto the Lord brought now something of this. Oh, to have that cry unto Him. Oh, there's such a cry. It delivers the soul up from that rebellious state in a measure once that cry is given. And that cry is a wonderful gift of God in measure. I'm speaking now not of the unbelieving cry and the murmuring cry, but Moses' cry here. When Moses came, he cried unto the Lord. Oh, the Lord gives something of a prayer then. And that raises the soul up. That draws us so out. You know, dear friend, you and I can be sinking right down into hell and never have a prayer. People think that, oh, if they come into a place of hell, they would pray. You won't. Unless God gives it. Do you really believe that? In all the depths of sorrows, one will never pray unless God gives it. We can't do it of ourselves. He cried. His cry was different than the cry of the rest of Israel. It was a cry that moved God to act. And that's what we need, a cry that stirs up God, causes him now to arise, causes the Lord to stand forth, the Lord to put forth his hand. Oh, for such a cry as that. Oh, dear friend, in your morrows, when you come to that place where finally you bow under it and cry unto the Lord then to undertake to show you the way, oh, then there will be the turning of that morrow. Oh, this cry. After all the rebellion, Moses cries. And that cry here causes God to appear. Under all that dark cloud of their fretting, there now will be a gleam of light. Oh, when our Lord comes like that, in the place where his people are, in all their down sitting, their darkness, then to have this gleam of light that rises up, begins to shine forth. Oh, he showed him. See, dear friend, what it was. There was something God had to heal those waters. The Marah. And that's the real mercy here. The healing of the waters. And you will say, oh, but it's the healing of my state, the healing of all my condition. Are there those here this morning? Do you need God to heal? It's a beautiful word that we read out toward the end of the chapter here. If you look at verse 26. And you do well to consider it. The Lord there speaks, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, dear, so that indeed is a great blessing. I am the Lord that healeth thee. And those bearers you have, I can heal them. Oh, when the Lord appears to heal all the state of his people, then he'll heal it thoroughly, completely. He won't leave something ill in it yet. That's not God's way. What a healing nature there is when the Lord shows him the tree. I like that. There was a tree right there. It was near at hand. It wasn't at some distance away. No, different. When the Lord appears for his people, it's near. It's near unto them. He brings it nigh. He brings them nigh to it. Oh, never lose sight of this. The Lord is nigh unto them that fear him. He is always nigh. And though their marrow was right there, in all its bitterness, their God was right there too. Oh, if there be one this morning, so in your present state, that you painfully know and feel, oh, may God appear that he's nigh. Never is God's nighness so precious as when one is in his marrow state. Then to have that hope, to have that view of God as his support, his strength, his stay. He showed him a tree. This tree, it was the tree that was in the Garden of Eden, in measure. The tree of life. The same tree in essence. We speak here symbolically, of course. But it's the application of it. It's the truth that it detects for us and tells us of. This tree. And right through the Word of God, we have something of this tree being brought forth. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Oh, this tree. But surely, is it not that tree that was laid on Christ? The cross itself. What a tree that is. This is the tree that the Lord shows now unto His people. And when a soul is in his trouble, his need, his exercise, the Lord will show unto him something of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. There's the tree. It's not so much that we see an actual literal tree, but different we see what the tree represents. Death. That death of which Christ offered up on behalf of his people. Oh, to have a view then of the Lamb of God. And when, indeed, John speaks of it in John chapter 1, behold the Lamb of God, there's a tree. It's for the healing of the nations. The Lord showed him a tree. There's something very sacred, very sweet, when the Lord begins to take the scales off one's eyes, as he did Moses here, that they should see the tree. Dear friend, it's a wonderful thing if God has brought you to see something of this tree. And we'll come more to the application of it in a moment. But remember, dear friend, the Lord first begins to show His people who this tree really is. What that tree represents. All that will be accomplished by it. The Son of God Himself. As that one who goes forth. As His people's representative. To bear away their curse, to take away the stain, to remove from them all the guilt. Oh, this is the effect of the tree. This is what that tree will do. He showed him a tree. All the bitterness that was in those waters, dear friends, I'm not going to describe all that. I can't. No man can. But it only took the one tree to remove the whole of the bitterness. And so it will be with you, so. If the Lord is pleased, He'll show you something in this tree. And faith then rises up. Faith goes out. Faith believes that that tree, that revelation of Christ and all that He is able to do all for me. He can bless. He can heal. He can remove the curse. Oh, to have something of that revealed unto us. And there is a process here. There is, shall we say, this step along the way. He showed him a tree. And when Moses saw something of that tree, I believe he looked right past that literal tree there, different. He was looking right down the ages. He was looking to the promises of God and all that they spake of the coming one, the Son of Righteousness. He was looking to that one whom God had made known to him in the Passover and in other places. And now he sees this tree. Oh, blessed sight it was. There were those times in Moses' life, you know, when he was highly favored. When he had such glimpses of Christ. And I do believe here on the banks of Marah, he had such a view. Think of it so. How many a time God's people have had it in their various trials. I was speaking earlier about our families, perhaps. You know, David, when he looked at his family, he couldn't see much good, could he? He looked at the families of others. He saw that their children, they were walking in the ways uprightly, but his family, What a chaos it was. And the dear man had to come to this place. The tree was put in his path for him then. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure, this is all my hope and all my salvation, although he make it not to grow. Oh, there David saw something now of the tree that was cast into that Mara of his family. That which would heal it all. And oh, what a revelation it is when the Lord gives a glimpse of that tree then. And he showed him a tree. But, see, dear friend, that something else had to take place. It wasn't enough that he should see the tree. It had to be cast into the waters. The boughs of that tree hanging over the waters didn't heal those waters. The roots of that tree going down to those waters didn't heal those waters. The only thing that would heal the waters was for that tree to be cut down and cast into those waters. Oh, but we see there something of Christ, who was made sin for his people, who had to bear the curse for them. There he's cast into the waters. Oh, when a soul is brought by precious faith into the sweet experience of thought and has Christ cast into all the bitter waters he has in his life, though that begins to heal. That begins to restore again the joys which had been lost, the blessings which had been forfeited, all these things which seemed impossible. Now they're being restored again. They're being brought out onto that poor sinner. Oh, think of it so then. Let's go back now over these things I was speaking about, the Maras in business. Oh, but if Christ in his death, that atoning death, that sacrificial death of his, is then cast into those business concerns of yours, dear friend, it'll make all the bitter things sweet again. Everything will be right. It'll be put in their place. Oh, then again, you'll find that the Lord will grant you favor. Or it may be in one's health and body. Oh, then, think of many a soul under a great affliction of body. But, oh, Christ is revealed to him. Christ as his whole support. Christ as his all. And no longer are his afflictions anything, any longer. Oh, how then that soul revives. His heart is enlarged. Oh, he finds strength again. Oh, nothing might change outwardly in his circumstances, but it surely does inwardly. And he sees that all now is in order. All is right. Surely it must be so, dear friend, when we think of the daily path, the providential path that we are in. Oh, how many Maras are in those paths. But oh, when the tree is cast into the water, when Christ is brought down into the soul, when one sees how that he endured such conflict, endured the reproach, the scorn, the shame, and the wrath of God. Oh, that laid in those waters. How it turns them then. No longer are they bitter. You see, then, so, you'll drink from those waters. You will drink from them. All the wrongs that you suffer in business, you'll drink from it with joy. all that's wrong in your family, there'll be something that you'll drink from it again in praise to God. But see the order. Not until the tree is cast into the water can you have a drink in that way. Behind all the frowning providences of God, dear friend, there's no drinking yet. Until the Lord begins to shine through, then you'll drink of those waters. And no longer will they be bitter. Now that is removed. Oh, the wonderful effect of the cross of Christ, of His suffering death, and all that He is made for His people. Oh, there then is a healing of the waters there. Every daily trial. Oh, see, dear friend, that bitterness is taken off then. And then we think, especially when we come to the last hour of death, what a marrow that is. What a bitterness is in it. Who can look the monster in the face? But oh, think of it so. When the something of this tree cast into the water, the very water of death itself, oh, then the soul rejoices in dying. Here indeed is the wonderful way in which the Lord is teaching His people that need of Himself. The blessing of Himself. The reward of Himself. Oh, thought so. To find in that hour, even the hour of death, the bitter water of the Meror sweetened. Oh, wonderful it will be. And when they came to Marah, well, there are many more things. My mind goes to the many different cases of God's dear people in His Word. They had their marahs. And those marahs were very bitter until finally the tree was cast in. Right all through Scripture, dear friend, the whole of it bears the same blessed testimony. Oh, may the Lord bear it unto us now. And grant that we too may know something of that tree. Christ in His cross, Christ in the crucifixion, Christ in His sufferings, being cast into all our bitter waters. Oh, then we will know that He is the Lord that healeth us. Let's continue by singing hymn number 333. O my soul, what means this sadness? Wherefore art thou thus cast down? Let thy griefs be turned to gladness. Bid thy restless fears be gone. Look to Jesus and rejoice in His dear name. Hymn 333. upon thy word, and forgive all thou hast seen amiss. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost, abide with us. Amen.